guest or visitor today, we want you to feel warm and welcome today. We hope that we've been a friendly church, and that's what we want to do each and every week. Today is called The Missing Masterpiece, and we'll be in the book of Ephesians. If you have your Bible with you today, turn to the book of Ephesians. As you're turning there, I noticed today is Megan and Dustin's one-year anniversary. They're not here with us today. It's an excellent deal. They're not here with us today. That was the first couple I ever married last year, 1 year ago today. And they're off celebrating the one-year anniversary on a great trip today. So it's just incredible to think. And then we were at a wedding last night for one of our past members here that used to go to Ground Zero. She got married. And it's just great when we see young Christian men and women growing up, getting married and going off to start their new life together. We had Eric and Kish's daughter Haley and Dustin got married a couple years ago. And just as we see those transitions of new life starting, that just excites me to no end to see those things. Today's scripture reading, while you're turning to the book of Ephesians, is from Psalm 139. It's verse 13 through 16. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it to you. But we're going to talk about that. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. For your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
In the beginning, there were words, for no sky nor dirt, rocks nor birds, heaven nor earth, death nor birth had yet been given proper syllabification, so nothing physical had yet entered creation. But despite the lacking of material manifestations, there did hang one true enunciation. Words. Words of God, spoken script, speaking scripture, holy writ, the writing builder, building mountains out of nouns, plants and herbs from active verbs, planting nations in punctuation, preparing solar positions with prepositions. Nature's narrative was rich with adjectives, but man was dirt and needed an additive, so God added his imperative, impairing the dirt of its ability to be sedative. So came the breath of life, the words that made dirt our relative. We are born of Bible, letters formed our limbs. How can I deny God's words when they are written on my skin? In this breath of life, God breathed to begin, an exhalation for the ages, the inspiration of men. You know the words of which I speak. You've memorized them. They are the Pentateuch, Torah, history books, poets, major and minor prophets, synoptic gospels, Acts of the Apostles, and their epistles. They are our scriptures, those ancient divine whispers scribed by enlightened scriptors passed down to modern listeners. The mouth from which the universe was founded is the fount on which our scriptures are grounded. Listen to where the Bible was originally sounded, for it's far better than what we have lobbied, or from traditions copied, or our own doctrines embodied. That scripture says, that scripture is God breathed. That means the breath that filled the nostrils of the ground, the life blown into dirt, the exhaling heartbeat that made the simple renowned. That is what can be found in what has been written down. So I believe in the scriptures, where God has breathed the breath of life, where we find the vows between eternal husband and earthly wife, where saints and martyrs find comfort for their strife and stone hearts come to get cut with a knife. I believe in the scriptures. When God breathed on dirt, he got man. When he breathed on man, he got words. The words are not in the dirt, but in the breath. The breath passes from man to man until they return to dirt, the eternal chain of command, the passing of words. And now the words are in our hands. But so often they're only found behind our lips or on our eyes, within church doors in red and black lines, printed on shirts our commitments disguise. What we say is truth, our lives claim is a lie. But I believe in the scriptures, for those scribal scribblings refuse to stay on the page, for they give life, so life is required to be paid. The words in your Bibles are not meant on paper to lay, but to be resurrected in your flesh as you die to them every day. I believe in the scriptures, for by them, through them, and to them I was made, for they are the words of Genesis, the exodus of shame. They are the words that form my bones and the ones that will call me from the grave. They are the ink on my flesh, the pen on my tongue. They are the words by which creation has begun and through which recreation will be done. They are the words of God, and we are his listeners. I believe God still speaks. I believe in the scriptures.
Amen. Amen. We had the pleasure when we went to Falls Creek this last year of seeing that man live on stage, and I walked in and probably thought, as some of you did, well, who's this guy with a goofy hat on his head rapping or something or whatever he's doing? And as I sat there and listened to it, though, be still and know that I'm God, as I sat there and listened to it, I was drawn into it. And the words that he was saying came alive. And after he did this for several minutes, a couple different ones, fantastic speaker, actually, rapper, poet, whatever he is. Fantastic artist, and that's a masterpiece right there. And I found myself not able to sit in my seat any longer, but drawn to my feet, drawn to listen to it and hear it. And I don't know if you caught what he said, but he said, these words are not meant to lie on the page. They're meant to come alive and live in us. We're to die to these words daily, every day. In the book of Psalm that I just read, it talks about being formed, our inward parts being formed. And it has words that we're very familiar with. It says, marvelous are your works, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. But I can't help but think that we go through life sometimes and don't realize that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. If you'll turn to chapter 2. Book of Ephesians. And I'm focusing on one verse today, but I want to read verse 1 through 10 today. And it starts out and says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Let me stop there for just a minute and remind those of you that may have stepped up in life and walked out of those things. You once walked in those things, so remember that. Goes on in verse 4 and says, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, all of us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. How many knows that? We think something good has happened and we want to boast at how great we are, how great our talents are, forgetting that God gave us those talents. I couldn't help but smile as I banged out a couple wrong notes up here and thought, I'm just going to stay on this till we get to that note. A lot of times you guys don't notice. Sometimes you do when your ears kind of go, I just smile. I'm sorry, God, I messed up the gift you gave me. And then, of course, I always miss Anna. She's not with us today, and I always miss her when she's not here. But we can't boast on those gifts. We can't boast on our talents. They're God-given. They're God-given. Verse 10 is what I want to focus on today. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul kind of talks about our daily walk with Christ. And he talks about our old walk. And some of you may think, my old walk is still my current walk. Got good news for you today. There's a new walk that He has in store for you. You just have to realize it and start walking that new walk. But he talks about the old and new walk here. And he talks about us in togetherness. There is power when this church body comes together and praises and worship God together. And when we pray together as a church body. Body of believers. Workmanship that he mentions here in verse 10 literally means a thing made, a masterpiece. How many times have you guys heard stories, masterpieces found in corners of attics, garages, basements? A masterpiece. It could be artwork, music, reels of music, old films, old writings. Several years ago, there was a famous painter, I don't dare try and mention the name and bungle that. And they found this drawing in a corner of a studio. It had been missing for over 200 years. And here this masterpiece sat. I'm kind of thinking, what sits unmoved for 200 years? But as I look around my garage and house, I think, well, there's several years. But 200 years, this piece sat in a corner of a studio. When they found it, it sold at auction, Christie's Auction House, in 2008, $24.39 million. This work of art that had been missing for over 200 years, sitting in a corner, a masterpiece, unrecognized, unknown. And there's so many times with works of art like that, masterpieces. The one that possesses it has no idea what it is, don't know its value. So consequently, they pay very little attention to it. The possessor simply doesn't know what they have and consequently pay very little attention to it. Maybe some of you today feel like your parents didn't recognize you as a masterpiece. And therefore they paid little attention to you. Don't give up. Maybe today you're the parent who doesn't realize that you've got a masterpiece in your own house. You have several masterpieces in your house. Don't give up. Maybe you're married today and your spouse does not realize the masterpiece that you are. Maybe you're the spouse that doesn't realize the masterpiece that you have. This is usually where you see husbands and wives poking and pointing at each other. Don't give up. Maybe today you're simply here and you think, I'm nobody's masterpiece. I'm nobody's masterpiece. I'm in the corner. I'm collecting dust. And I'm nobody's masterpiece. Don't give up today. You see, two things are taking place here. When we look at the masterpieces, two things taking place. Young people, listen to me. I accidentally look at some adults and think, I'm young. Young people, listen up. As you strive to be recognized and identified as a beautiful human being, understand that God is not done with you. God is not done with you. He's still working in you and will continue doing that. Old people, that's the rest of you. God's still working on you. And don't think for a second because you feel like you've sat in a corner and you're covered with dust that you won't be recognized, you won't be identified. You won't be found by somebody that recognizes you as a masterpiece, one of God's creations. Don't give up. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork," or His masterpiece. That's one of the things that we talk about. In Job 37:14, Job had a challenge to stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Amen? Sometimes we just need to stand still and understand the masterpiece that God has created. One of the four areas of focus I want for our church this year: recognize and meditate on God's wondrous works. For His work is all around us. You walk out the door, you see the pile of dirt piled in front of the telephone pole and the big ditch next to it, and you probably think, well, where's His masterpiece? It's all around us. It's above us. It's this building. We miss it every day. Every day of the week, we pass masterpieces, structural buildings. Say what you want about the Buddhist across the street. That's an amazing building. The one across the street, not the one on the corner. Architecture. That's amazing. Technology. It's amazing. That is all God's wondrous works. This poet that we listen to. That's a masterpiece. I may not like every piece of art in my house, but it's somebody's masterpiece. And that's what we have to remember. Musicians and singers. The sky, the trees, the flowers, the critters and the creatures. But God's best masterpiece to me is right here. God's church. Not His building. I'm talking about God's people. Every day we pass God's people, His wondrous works, His amazing masterpieces, and we forget all about them. We dismiss them. What is wrong with them? Oh my gosh, did you see the way they looked? I'd like to say I don't do that, but I do. I try not to, but I do. I think we all do. I think we all do. I think we miss God's masterpiece. The great evangelical scholar John Stott said this: "The creation is a visible disclosure of the invisible God, an intelligible disclosure of the otherwise unknown God. Just as artists reveal themselves in what they draw, paint, and sculpt, so the divine artist has revealed himself in his creation." God is all around us if we just take the time to look. Maltby Babcock. See, I was ready to make fun of his name. That was God's masterpiece. He was a pastor in 1901 of a church on the Hudson River. And on the back of the bulletin, you have this big, long song with 6 verses. And he wrote that. And the story goes that after lunch on most days, he would say to his secretary, "I'm going out into my father's world." And he would just take a walk and look around at what God had for him. And later in his ministry, he would pen that familiar hymn, "This is my father's world." I attached it to the bulletin today, not so that we could sing it, although I do love that song, but just so you could have something to take with you, look at, reflect on. Sometimes all we need is somebody or something to say, "Hey, remember this during the week. Hey, think about this during the week." If I stood up here for the next 4 weeks and said, "Hey, guys, we have to remember our Guatemala mission. Hey, guys, we have to remember our Guatemala mission." We'd probably start remembering our Guatemala mission. Whatever we put in front of ourselves is what we focus on. And I just wanted you to have something in your hand that you could focus on this week that said, we need to go out and recognize God's masterpiece, His wondrous works, the things that He's provided for us. As a masterpiece, we have responsibilities. We have responsibilities not to set ourselves away from the crowd, not to put ourselves over in a corner, to collect dust and dirt. We have to understand that God has a great plan for us. Well, I'm not in the art museum in Oklahoma City or over in London or any fancy place. I'm hanging on the wall of someone's house. So are some of the greatest works of art ever done. Don't think for a second where you sit in life, where you stand in life, where you are in life does not make you a masterpiece. I'm going to close with this story today. William Randolph Hearst. Most of you know him, the big newspaper multimillionaire. Loved art, had tons of masterpieces. But one day he was flipping through a book and he saw a print of a particular masterpiece. And he said, "I want that masterpiece." So what did he do? Men with money hired a detective, said, "Find that masterpiece, find who owns it, and I want it." Several months went by, several thousand dollars, which doesn't sound like a whole lot to a man that has multi-millions of dollars. But several months, several thousand dollars of this private detective he hired. And he came back and he said, "I've got great news, but I also have some bad news. Good news is I found the print." Or, "I found the masterpiece," not the print. "I found the masterpiece. I found it." "That's great news. What's the bad news?" "The bad news is you've had it all along. It was in one of your warehouses. He didn't know it." Sound familiar? About a week ago, as Pastor Eric Ferguson preached on the diamond field, man left his farm, went to foreign lands searching for diamonds. Spent all his money and died. The new farmer put the shiny rock that he found up on his mantle. It was discovered it was diamonds, and they were all over his field. It was there all along. It was there all along. Most of us are dull and even blind to what is already ours. Married couples, remember that. We become dull or even blind to what is already ours. Dust off the masterpiece if you're the one that put it in the corner. If you're the masterpiece in the corner, dust yourself off. What's already ours? Love, friendship, food, health, a free land in which to live in. Don't go looking around for what you think will make you happy before you pay attention to what you already have. The worst thing we can do with a masterpiece is stick in the corner and not realize what we have and let it collect dust. Today, I'm simply challenging you not to be the missing masterpiece. Do not be that masterpiece. God formed you. He made you. Don't set yourself in a corner. Don't allow yourself to be set in a corner. Young people, as I reminded you earlier, God's not done with you yet. Don't look for a perfect body, a perfect look, a perfect life, when God's not done with you. There's so much to do, but you have responsibilities also. Masterpieces have to be protected, and you have to protect yourself. As I said, for the older folks, don't give up and feel like you've been set in a corner and you'll never be found. We have two obligations and disciplines here. Remember that we're God's masterpiece. And as such, we need to quit, I don't know any better way to say it, moaning and whining like we're a dime store artwork. We need to make sure that when we are God's masterpiece and He puts a spotlight on us, that we can shine and we can make the artist proud. Are you proud of what you've done this last week? What you've said? How you acted at work, at home, on the highways to and from work and the places we go? The second obligation or discipline is treat others as masterpieces. Quit ignoring those around you and behaving like you're the masterpiece and they're the dime store artwork. We're all on display together. We're all in this together. Just like the guy up there, the poet. We're all different. We all like different things. But we are all in this museum, works of art, and we need to compliment one another. We're always on display, are we not? Ambassadors of Christ. We're to be ambassadors of Christ every day in the things we do, in our actions, in the words that we speak. We're all in the sheep pen together. Call it what you want. We're in the sheep pen together. We're in the museum together as a masterpiece. We're all in this together. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, today we just thank you for the wonderful work that you have done in each and every one of us, Lord. For you have formed us regardless of what we look like, how we act, how we're developed. Lord, each one of us has been created by you for your purpose. Today, Lord, we come before you, some of us feeling unworthy, unfit, unrecognizable as a masterpiece in your eyes and in the eyes of others around us, maybe even loved ones. Lord, would you take that cover off us? Lord, today would you dust us off? Lord, today would you make your light shine on us a little brighter? To show others and tell others that we are masterpieces. To remind ourselves that we are masterpieces. It doesn't matter what the critic says, Lord, for you are the artist and you created us. And we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Today, maybe you're here and you feel unworthy as a masterpiece. Maybe because you made yourself feel that way. Maybe because somebody else made you feel that way. Maybe somebody told you that many, many years ago. Maybe you feel you've been sitting in the attic collecting dust. Again, because you put yourself there or somebody else put you there. But today is the day to get out of that corner. Maybe you feel like cheap art today. Like I mentioned, and don't feel worthy. If any of those fit you, would you just slip up your hand so we can pray for you today? Young or old, you're just feeling unworthy right now. You're not feeling like one of God's masterpieces. You haven't made yourself feel like a masterpiece. Somebody else has made you feel like you're not a masterpiece. Would you raise your hand today? Thank you. Church, while we're praying, we need to get honest and real with ourselves and with others and allow others to pray for us and break us out of the bondage that holds us back. I'll just give one more opportunity for you to slip up your hand so we can pray for you. If one of those fits you, would you raise your hand today? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, for those that raise their hand today, may we recognize them as masterpieces in your museum. May we recognize them as masterpieces in our life, in our church body. Lord, I ask you to forgive those that may have made them feel unworthy, unlike a masterpiece today. Lord, I ask for healing in those that have felt rejected and hurt, stuck in the corner. Lord, today may they overcome and understand the beauty of themselves by the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Will you heal them, Lord? Lord, I thank you for this wonderful church. I thank you for this church body. I ask you to bless us this week as we go out. Bless us in our actions and the words we speak to others. May we look at everything and everyone differently through your eyes, the eyes of the artist, beginning today as we pull out of this parking lot. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.